Conversion Summit in Frankfurt, Germany. It's the Conversion Scientist Podcast. You're about to hear my presentation, Writing Killer Copy, Getting Past the Bouncers in Your Brain. Don't forget to grab a copy of my book, Your Customer Creation Equation, now available at Amazon.
Thank you, thank you. So I'm a little bit nervous about speaking today to a German audience. I feel like I should know some of your language and speak it with you. Solidarity, my respect for you. But unfortunately in America, the only sources of German language come from Christmas carols and Volkswagen commercials. Today, I am going to talk about getting past this guy, the bouncer in your brain, the bouncer that is keeping your messages from getting into our minds. I want to start off with introducing you to a couple brands. One you may know, the other you will know, but copywriting is a key part of their business strategy and a key reason for their success. First of all, let me introduce you to Beta Brands. This is a company that was started in 2009. They're an online retailer. Their core product, the thing that launched the business, was the quarter rounds. The quarter rounds are corduroy pants that instead of running up and down, they run around and around. As you can see here. Copywriting is an important part of their success. And what has success meant for them? Over the last 3 years, they've grown 430% in their revenues. 430%. They just got $8.5 million in funding. Remember, they started in 2009. And they opened a shop in San Francisco in the Mission District. So how do they write about their products? How important is copy to their products? Let's take an example of the quarter rounds. They say it's friction-free, unlike vertical corduroy, which produces friction that can heat your crotch to uncomfortable, potentially catastrophic levels. Quarter rounds horizontal wales mesh evenly, lowering the average wearer's crotch heat index reading, the CHI, by up to 22%. They even have images and equations. Of course, this is all crap. This is just shit. But it's very interesting, and it engages their audience. How well does it engage their audience? Well, they have open rates on their emails between 40 and 45%. On one of their products, called the Bike to Work Pants, they have 220,000 backlinks to that product page. 220,000. And every day, they receive 25 photos from their customers showing them wearing their products. So this is kind of crazy, but copy is a key part of the strategy. And their CEO, Chris Lindland, says if you create something with a hook, you can experience dramatic results. That is my thesis. Let's take a look at another one. You've heard of Groupon? Yes? No? Yes, if you have. Oh, okay. Groupon, as you know, had a great IPO, amazing, and then went, But Groupon is still growing, and they do some amazing things with their copy as well. As of December of last year, they had 170 million people on their email list, and they're sending them an email every day. So how long would your list stand you sending an email every single day without your opt-out rates going through the ceiling? Probably not. How do they do it? With copy. This is for a yard cleaning, a yard service, a lawn service in Austin, Texas. And here's how they write. Neglected lawns and gardens quickly overgrow into jungly briars that attract deadly predators, such as pumas, tigers, and the predator riding a tiger. It's a reference to the movie, The Predator. Chop, snip, and mow your way to an orderly, alien-free yard with today's Groupon. This is a lawn service. Who writes like this about a lawn service? Well, it turns out that this is done on purpose. And I was able to find a job description for copywriters that Groupon had published. And here's what they look for. Each day, Groupon features a write-up describing the deal with thoroughly researched informative selling points that range from the straightforward to the whimsical and bizarre. We strive to avoid marketing cliches. You'll soon find out why that's important. shooting instead for vivid description rooted in complete transparency and embellished with well-crafted absurdities. This is the job description for their writers. And this is one of the reasons that they're successful, that they're able to keep people on their list and continue to grow the company. Although their stock price is not as good as it was, they are not Zynga. So what are we going to talk about today? We're going to understand these bouncers in the brain. We're going to understand who they are. Then we're going to figure out what to do about them. And we're going to find out how to consistently create copy that works from a conversion standpoint. I had to check myself out. Most importantly, when you leave today, you are going to be a better copywriter. I promise you that. All right? So first of all, I want to know who you are. How many of you guys are 100% copywriters, spend most of your time, if not all of your time, writing copy? We have one in the audience. How many of you guys are managing a copywriting process or manage the development of messages in copywriting? Raise your hands for me. Maybe even less than 10%. How many of you guys manage a website development process? There we go. And how many of you are on your own? You're a small company or one-man shop and you do everything for the website? Just a couple of you. Okay. Well, there's something for all of you. It's an interesting crowd, though. A little bit about me. There's that handsome devil. So I'm a computer scientist. I'm a programmer by training. Out of college, I sold semiconductors for Texas Instruments. After that, I started my own company called Conversion Sciences, a web consulting company. And after that closed in 2000, in a downturn, I went to several technology companies and built out their marketing. So I was a corporate marketer. And I don't know how you bring all this stuff together and create a role other than conversion scientist. Umwandlungswissenschaftler. Doesn't that make me sound important? I also understand that Conversionswissenschaftler would work here. I love that, Wissenschaftler. So Conversion Sciences is my practice. It's the second company that I've begun. We optimize websites, primarily e-commerce websites and lead generation websites. I am a consultant, and as of today, I'm an international speaker. Thank you, Germany. I am the author of the book, Your Customer Creation Equation, Unexpected Website Formulas of the Conversion Scientist. And if you have good questions at the end of this, I'm going to give you a copy of this book. Good stuff. And as you've noticed, I'm also a labware fashion model. So what is copy? I asked Joanna Wiebe of Copy Hackers to tell me what copy was in her mind. And I thought this was pretty good. Using words, typography, punctuation, and images to communicate your message in ways that will engage your visitors. I like to think of it as this way. Words, typography, punctuation, images, and they can be moving images, like video, that generate action, that create action in the people that come to your website. So the question is, we saw Groupon, we saw Beta Brands, why do these guys have to work so hard to get inside the brains of their prospects and turn them into customers? Why can't they just put out the truth about it, the features and benefits, and let the visitors make a choice? It's because of those damn bouncers. So I'm going to introduce you to the two bouncers that you need to worry about right now. Pierre Paul Broca and Carl Wernicke. Wernicke. So in Texas, we call him Wernicke. But since I'm in Germany, I figure I'd try to pronounce it right. So Wernicke. Is that right? Well, I'm going to go with that for the rest of this presentation. So here's what I want you to do. Raise your left hand. Yeah. Oh, some of y'all are getting there. Bend at the elbow and put your finger just behind your left ear. You are now pointing at Wernicke's area. This is the place where sounds called nouns are turned into the images that represent them. And it's not just images, it's emotions and feelings as well. Because it's located right next to the inferior parietal lobule, which is where it gets access to the cortex and all of our memories. This is important because we want our messages to be bringing memories in our visitors' minds. All right, raise your left hand. Bend at the elbow. Dear Ellenbogen, yeah? You're now pointing to Broca's area, located in the triangular portion of the frontal gyrus. This portion of the brain turns verbs into action. And then it broadcasts them, it displays them on a structure that neuroscientists call the geospatial sketchpad. Neurospatial schism block. This is where we imagine doing things. Roy Williams, who did a lot of this research at the Wizard Academy, said that we can't take action until we've imagined ourselves taking action. And that's what the visual spatial sketchpad is about. And you'll also notice that Broca's is right in the way of the motor cortex. Motor cortex is where we actually formulate the impulses that allow us to take action, and we'll see why that is important. So these two areas are the bouncers in your brain. If you do not light these parts of your brain up, your message will not be understood. It will not be related to. It will not be seen as relevant. It will not be seen as important. And action will not be transcribed into the brains of your readers. We're going to talk about how we get past these bouncers. So they're not just decoders of words. Yes, words do come in and go out through these centers, but they're not just decoding them. So here's a brain scan, and this is someone looking at words passively, looking at words as if they were images. And you see the activities at the back of the brain here. This is called the visual cortex. This means that part of the brain that handles images and shapes, edges, contrasts, is working. There's no comprehension going on here. There's no association with past memories. But when generating words or reading words, we see these two areas. Where are these? Broca and Wernicke. This is what we want our copy to do. Light these parts of the brain up, because that means we've gotten beyond the bouncers and we've started to impart meaning and persuasion into our visitors' minds. So what does it take to wind up Wernicke? How do we get past the bouncer Wernicke? Wernicke. I'm going to keep trying to do that. Relevance, emotion, and storytelling. That's what Wernicke wants. When you've handed a noun, a word that sounds like a noun, it wants to be able to associate that with something from its past. Here's a split test. This is from Witch Test 1. I think it illustrates this concept. They start off saying, access valuable business intelligence briefs, demos, webcasts, and white papers. Now, I don't know how many of you guys have woken up in the middle of the night sweating, going, oh my gosh, I need an intelligence brief. What am I going to do if I don't get an intelligence brief? Or at least a webcast. We don't. In fact, Wernicke is probably pulling out the most boring of our webcasts if we sell it this way. But if you're a guy in a web coat, in a lab coat like this, these topics, these get me excited. These get past the bouncers. Analytics, dashboards and visualization, query reporting and analysis, information infrastructure. These are the things that I wake up in the middle of the night going, ha, how am I going to communicate these things with my clients? And so this wakes Wernicke up for me. And you need to do the same thing. We're more specific and more relevant, less general. And you're going to find time and time again when you take this approach, Wernicke lights up. And that's good for your messages. A 24% increase in leads by being more specific and relevant. Here's one from an addiction treatment center for people who are suffering from addictions from alcohol, drugs, gambling, etc. A place of new beginnings. So when somebody finally reaches out for help, their life has gone pretty bad. They've lost money, they've lost family, they've lost their health. A place of new beginnings is very general and cliche. We tested that against addiction torments addicts and their loved ones. This is a complete story in seven words. Complete story in seven words. There's the good guy. The loved ones. There's the bad guy, the addiction. There's the conflict, the torments of the addicts and their loved ones. And there's a resolution, but the resolution is implied on the page. How well did this one perform? 184%. It's the only thing that changed on this page. 184% increase in leads for this business. That's pretty powerful. That's Wernicke waking up. So Broca's area filters the predictable. This part of your brain's job evolved years ago as we were evolving. And we had to understand the difference between wind blowing the grass and a tiger crunching the grass as it approached us. Because if we got it wrong, we were dead. We were eaten by the tiger. And there might even have been a predator riding on that tiger for all I know. So Broca's area became very good at distinguishing typical, cliche, seen it, done it stuff from from stuff that's different, stuff that says, oh, I better pay attention to this because I wasn't expecting it and it could be dangerous. It stands at the gate, Broca's area stands at the gate of the motor cortex. As soon as Broca says, hey, there's something different going on, it's immediately plugged in to start generating the impulses to flee, to fight, to mate with, I think is one of our presenters spoke about that, to take the action that is necessary if there is danger. It's kind of like this. Broca's area is the guard of the motor cortex. I only put this slide in there because I love this picture so much. I don't know who this guy is. Looks kind of like Craig. So what we need to do is surprise Broca. Broca's looking for the unexpected, the unbelievable, and just plain wrong. Marketing experiments did an ad test. Free market research. We hold all the secrets to internet marketing by now. They tested it against this one. Free marketing research. Lousy marketing ideas. Don't come to this site. And for the B2C angle, Bulldog info and resources. Site about family dog. Pictures and links here. Tested against Bulldog info and resources, vaguely useful pet site, affiliate links, and pictures. As you guessed, this column won. Now, this is not the way you want to go to market, and I'm sure that their conversion rates on the page were not that good. Nonetheless, it drives home the point that if you wake up Broca, people are compelled to take action. This got through Broca's the bouncer. Here's another quick example in a business-to-business, two landing pages. These are from different traffics. This is not a split test, but it'll give you an illustration of how going with the superhero and having this picture of this child, who you can relate to as your own child, as yourself as a child, being the superhero. Again, this is in a business-to-business environment. Performed very well. This page did 1.5% conversion rate. This one did a 26% conversion rate. So we know that this is working even in rather stodgy environments. So I also want to talk to you about how many of you have heard the saying that 93% of all communication is nonverbal. This is pretty commonly known. Guess what? It's bullshit. It's total bullshit. And Dr. Mehrabian worked for years to try to correct what his study actually said. He's the one who did the original study. What he said was that 93% of all communication is nonverbal if your words do not match your facial expressions. This is one of those things that wakes Broca up. And what we do is we focus on the nonverbal cues. Like this. It says bottles, right? But we're not going to try to stuff a bottle in there because we know it's not going to fit. The text, the copy gets discounted in favor of what we can see nonverbally. So would you rent a car from this person? You guys are going to see this probably a couple times here and a number of other places. Would you rent a car from this place? This fascinates us because she's selling tens of millions of pounds in car rentals every year in the UK. Tens of millions of pounds. This is a successful website. I mean, she goes over the edge on everything. Down here she says, the EU cookie law is an ass. Ugh. But she's doing very well. And the reason is this, that her facial expressions and her words match. This is how she goes to market. And here she's doing a keynote at an e-consultancy show. She's dressed up in army combat gear. She's got the cars painted, the goofy pictures, and she's got the Ling's car missile. So when you come to her site, if you saw this, you would instantly go, wait a minute, this doesn't match. Broca would wake up, but any copy or anything would be ignored. So you don't want to do that. You want her to have the experience. And you're going to need to do this in your businesses as well. So when you are starting to expand your horizon, waking up Wernicke and surprising Broca, keep in mind that the rest of the organization is going to have to keep up to some extent because you don't want to have that strong mismatch. So that's the only warning. My goal here is to make you all braver copywriters and take some chances and fight for some colorful writing. So let's talk about relevance, because relevance is really what a lot of this boils down to. Broca's looking for unexpected. Wernicke's going to do matching based on relevance. One way to do relevance is find out who they are. So this is marketing 101. Who are your customers? A good example of this is Patek Philippe, watchmaker, high-end watches, expensive watches. They know that their clients are going to be middle-aged men who are in their prime earning years. What else do they know about middle-aged men? They probably have young children. So they took the approach with their copy of saying, you never actually own a Patek Philippe. So this is a broker waker. It's like, wait a minute. I buy the watch. I own the watch. What's going on here? The rest of the copy says, you just save it. You merely take care of it for the next generation. So now Wernicke's going, children, my children, and all of these thoughts and memories and associations I have with those things. So this is probably a powerful ad. The rest of the ad is really very straightforward, benefits and rationalizations. But this is a company that knew their audience. Second of all, and this is really important, is what is the trigger? What is it that happened in their life today that made them type in that search term or come to your website? What is the thing? When you understand these things, your copy is going to get very, very specific and very, very powerful. Welcome to Conversion Summit. And I have an example here, I promise you. Can you think of any triggers? Very painfully specific things. I'm fixing to show you an example in which I have a leak under my counter and it's ruining my wood floors. I need a plumber to come out and show me how to turn off the power right away, or I'm going to be very, very sad. So if I do a search for emergency plumbers Austin, which is where I'm from, certainly people are smart enough to say, well, we want this emergency service, so we're going to have pages and ads for emergency service. We're going to buy that keyword. But the first one I go to looks like this. Quick service, Austin Plumber. La-di-da, call now. Special offer. Special offer. I don't care about special offers. My floors are being ruined. How about this one, though? Look, there's the truck that's going to come. I can imagine this thing pulling up to my side of my house on the curb and Superman jumping out with that tool or whatever that stops the water from flowing. No extra charge. Weekends, holidays, or nights. Austin Plumbers, 24-hour emergency plumbing. I guess I don't have to actually just point. And the phone number in bright red. This is going to get my business. And I imagine the emergency business is very lucrative. So, that is an example of understanding the triggers and responding to them very specifically in the way you lay out your copy. Where are they? So, geographically, where are they? And is this important to them? Here's another test from which test one. This is a site in Australia that provides experience gifts. So, my wife could go there and buy me an opportunity to jump out of an airplane. And she very well might want me to jump out of an airplane. I have to think about that. But they tested that, which some of their basic features, against starting here. Where are you? Because they realized that where their visitors are was very important. They didn't want to book something that would make them have to drive across Australia. And I think that place is even bigger than Texas. This had a 28% increase in sales. And here's one that we use a lot. And again, these aren't all of them, but these are some of the ones that we return to time and again. Are they transactional or are they relational? Transactional buyers' greatest fear is paying too much. They're afraid of paying a penny too much. They see the process of shopping and negotiating as a part of the fun. They like it. It's part of the deal. Relational shoppers' greatest fears are picking the wrong thing, choosing and buying the wrong thing. And they see the shopping experience as part of the cost. So they will pay more for an expert to help guide them, whereas transactional shoppers insist on being their own experts. So are they transactional or relational? Here's a good example from Witch Test 1. This ad leads off with save $100 on 12 world-class reds. That's a transactional lead. Leading with the savings. That's what transactionals love. Against this one, enjoy 12 world-class reds. This says to the relational shoppers, oh, you're going to get good wine, your friends aren't going to be embarrassed to drink it, and you're going to enjoy it too. So the question is their clientele more transactional or more relational? Well, it turns out they're more relational, and that ad won. So those are just some of the key triggers that we look for when we're trying to refine our messages. So again, we saw that specificity is very important, both to waking up Broca and to stimulating Wernicke. Two steps to killer copy. Number one, hire a great copywriter. Now, I'm not one, so I'm not pimping myself out here, but most of us write our own copy, and we're not the kind of copywriters that we need to be. Hire them and trust them, and then measure them. So you really don't know if you've got a good copywriter until they've increased your sales. So let's take a look at picking a great copywriter very quickly. What is their uncovery process? What is their uncovery process? So if you hire a copywriter and they sit down and say, okay, tell me about your clients and your business. And you're like, wait a minute. I know this stuff. You're the one supposed to be doing the research. That's what's important. Are they talking to your sales team, your customer support representatives? Are they reading any customer reviews, ratings and reviews, anything they can get their hands on? And are they going to forums, groups, and social media? Some of them might even do tests, some of the high-end copywriters. So you want to understand what their uncovery process is and make sure it's very, very, that they're educating themselves, because that's the only way they're going to write the most effective copy. Do they have a tested portfolio? Have they ever been measured before? Do they have any controls that are just kicking butt? Do they have some design and user experience knowledge? This is a real simple example of if a copywriter knows that a baby's face draws all of our attention to it, then they're smart enough to make a little change, have the baby looking at the copy where it casts the attention onto the message. It's more likely to be read, consumed, to be persuasive. All right? Very simple example of that. And they can't be afraid of analytics. So if you sit your copywriter down and you say, well, we want to decrease our bounce rate, they shouldn't look at you and go, are you a trampoline company? No. They need to understand what a bounce rate is, a conversion rate. They need to understand what revenue per visit is, whatever you're measuring to. They don't need to be experts in analytics, but they need to not be afraid of them. They need to be friends with them. And they measure to bottom line results. So they measure to dollars and to leads. When you have copywriters that talk about click-throughs, things like that, it's not going to be as effective. They need to understand that they're there to increase your business. So it all starts with the lead when we're writing copy. And here's a tool that you're going to leave with. Knowing what you already know from the first half of this presentation, this tool is going to help you write great leads and headline. The lead is the angle that you take on your copy. And it usually happens in the lead, in the headline. The reason that is because that's where you've got to wake up Broca and give Broca a few juicy nouns to pass over to Venica. Eugene Schwartz came up with this. He wrote Breakthrough Marketing, and you can get a copy of this book for free. It's public domain. There's a link that I provided here where you can get that and a couple of other public domain marketing books. So what kind of leads should we write? Eugene Schwartz came up with a spectrum. He said that there is a difference between users that are unaware and users that are most aware. And in between, there are several stages. Are they problem aware, solution aware, or product aware? And he says that when you come up with somebody who's unaware, you want to be more indirect. But when you have somebody that's most aware, that is very aware of your company and your products and how to use the solutions, you want to be very direct with them. So as an example, for those that are most aware, that know your company, know your products, and probably have bought your product before, product and price is very important. Discounts and deals, for those who are aware of the products but maybe haven't chosen a supplier, discounts and deals can give you the edge over your competitors. If they're solution aware, so they know that there's a solution to the problem, but they don't know what kind of products to choose, you want to use claims and proof to make yours stand out. And if they're problem aware, if they understand the problem, you want to emphasize that with benefits and anxieties. And then finally, if they're completely unaware, you've really got to use stories and secrets. You can't start talking about yourself and your product until you make them aware of the problem so they can move through this. And great copywriters can move them all the way through this process in one page, one communication. So just as very quick examples, a customer email would be a great place where you would find most aware people. They've already bought from you once. Email, customer email can help them buy again. You might use a display ad that presents discounts and deals for those that are product aware. A pay-per-click ad where they're actually searching for kinds of solutions. Organic search where you're publishing how-to so that people understand the problem that they have and you present those anxieties and benefits. And stories and secrets. Secrets happen very well in broadcast. People are unaware, they're not looking for you, so you may have to use radio and TV to reach out to them. Here's some examples. This, of course, is the Apple iPad 2. It needs no introduction, even if you don't already own one. It's an amazing product. It's gotten a lot of press. Everybody who is going to own one knows exactly what it does. So all I need to do is say, iPad 2, iPad 2, $4.99, and I love the call to action, select an iPad. It's exactly what you want to do, isn't it? Here we have hosting, web hosting. So this is somebody who is a product aware. I mean, I know if I want to host a website, I know kind of what the products are. All I really need to do is understand what the best source of that is. So free, unlimited, $4.99. These two are so similar that I imagine brokers not going to wake up for these at all. But it's deals and discounts. Here we go with the solution aware. These are people who understand their problem and are aware that there are solutions out there. I need to burn calories, but they're not sure what product they should be going after. Incline training burns 5 times the calories just by walking. And this is Jillian Anderson, I think. She's a celebrity from a TV show called The Biggest Loser, which is fat Americans competing against each other to see who can lose weight the fastest over the course of the season. But these are claims and proof. Here's one from an Austin real estate broker. This is problem aware. The longer your home is on the market, the less you will make. That's an anxiety. Learn what we do that nets $9,857 more. It's a benefit. Now, why didn't they say $10,000 here? What do we say about specificity? This number makes broker go, what? What? $9,857? It's a great use of specificity, and it adds credibility. And then finally, from Eugene Schwartz, the unaware people, the British miracle that creates super plants. This is storytelling. And I love what he does down here. He says, warning, if you grow dwarf plants, don't use this product. It's going to make them really big. I think that's probably balderdash. It's a really interesting way to go about it. Stories and secrets. And he's tested this. He's tested a variety of different ways. Here it leads with special sale on English plant food pellets. Very straightforward. And you should be doing the same as well. Let's look at a real quick test. This is one we did on email. So in an email, the subject line is your heading. The first line of the text is your subheading. And we tested a number of things for an internet-connected thermostat, very much like the Nest, only not nearly as cool. Limited time offer, save 33% on TXU Energy. So this is deals and discounting, right? This is for people that are product aware, and we want them to choose us to make the most aware. It's easy to heat and cool your home. This is more indirect. So this is somebody that's going to be in the unaware or the solution, somewhere unaware, problems aware, solution aware range. Now you can control your thermostat online. This is more specific, probably problem aware, and get the internet thermostat for $49 installed. And I'm trying to get myself out of the way here. So how did these do? You can do this sort of a test and kind of find out where your audience is. And what we found out was people who, on this end of the spectrum, converted on the landing page. Now this is comparing click-throughs to the landing page. All of these had about the same open rate and about the same click-through rate. But the landing page conversion rate was 6.2% for this subject line. It was 7.25 for it's easy to heat and cool your home, which surprised me because I thought this one would just dive. Now you can control your thermostat online. This appealed to the techie personas that was in our group, and get the internet thermostat for $49.99. This primed people to convert it over 10% on the landing page. It's a 165% increase over this one here. So we primed them with the number. We picked people, and they're going to be down at that product aware level. So now it's your turn. I've given you a model to use. I've introduced you to Broca and Wernicke, and all of the baggage that they come with. So let's see how you do. Again, this is addiction treatment. This is just a coincidence that I have a couple from addiction treatment, but I think they're very interesting. These are headlines on a page. We can help, call, ... and I have taken the number off. If you need the number, then just email me. Speak with a compassionate rehab specialist call. Ready to start healing call. Ready to stop lying. So if so, we can help. How many of you believe that A would be the winner in this? No? Okay. How about speak with a compassionate rehab specialist? Is there something in that that you think would speak to Broca and Wernicke? Okay, just a few of you. Ready to start healing call. A few more then. B, and ready to stop lying, if so, we can help. Ah,
You guys are good. So this was the control. Compassionate rehab specialists increased conversion rate by 32%. Ready to start healing? Yes, you got it. This is like the new beginnings. Broke is asleep. But look at this. Ready to stop lying. Who would expect to see that on a page? But this is really what the key is. And if you're an addict, you find yourself telling lies. And if you're the family of an addict, you find yourself being lied to. So it resonated with both sides. And a 43% increase in this case, it's calls that we're going for. So we would not have chosen something like this if we didn't know we were trying to knock Broken and Winnica around. So bouncers, what bouncers? We got them now. We know what they look like. We know what they're blocking us with. All we have to do is go forward, be a little braver with our copy, hire some people that are good at it to go along with it, and we are going to be on top of the world. We understood how these two guys worked. We understood the visitors, who they are, what their triggers are, where they are, and whether they're relational or transactional. These are the ways to hire a great copywriter. Do they have a strong uncovery process, tested portfolio, design and UX experience? They cannot be afraid of analytics, but they've got to be bottom line oriented. And we learned a model for nailing the lead, the angle in our copy. What else do we need? Well, if you ask good questions, you get a copy of this book. Only it's not going to be this big, but it's easier to carry on a plane when it's smaller. So you can read it on the plane. I designed it. It should be about a flight, a long flight to read. So I don't know if you want to open it to questions. I also have a slide that wakes up Broke and says, don't read this. You didn't expect that, did you? We have a conversion upside calculator that you might find interesting. It'll show you how small increases in conversion will increase your revenue. And it's a good good report if you're trying to convince somebody to do conversion optimization in your organization.
Thanks for this talk.
Thank you.
Thanks for trying to spell Wernicke, very German.
Failed, but...
No, fantastic. So, gibt es Fragen? Hat jemand Fragen zu dem Thema?
Nothing, really?
No.
Oh, we got some here. There's one here.
It's...
Vanna.
Markus. Hi, my name is Ole. I'm from Copenhagen. Good presentation, thank you.
Thank you.
So, the pictures of the sports guy, they look like it's some years old.
And actually, it's a print scan, yeah. Yeah, so that was not online.
So has anything changed now with all the scanning of the brain and all the neuro stuff and all that in the way we should approach this? Or is it just like, is it still working, his model that you present?
Yeah. And
is it changing?
So, yeah, the truth is that our brain scans are just catching up what direct marketers, and especially direct mail marketers, direct response marketers, figured out through writing copy and testing. So those guys are the original conversion scientists. And so we're just finally starting to understand through brain scans the truth that they already know. So the answer is it hasn't changed. I mean, there is a difference between behaviors online and offline. But if you're talking about writing copy that engages, these principles will serve you again and again. So give the man a book.
Thank you. Yeah, we will do. We will do. Markus? Das one?
Hi, ich fange auf Deutsch. Eine Frage, ob du Erfahrung hast, wenn man Texte, anstatt zu schreiben, im Prinzip als Video wiedergibt, ob das denselben Effekt hat.
Yes. Yeah. What did he say?
You told me that you had some German lessons.
So,
the question is, if there are any experiences, if putting words into a video has like the same effect than having the words written down on the page.
We actually did an eye tracking study of video, and we found a couple of things. So we tested talking head, with me talking and being very interesting. We took that audio and we did static slides, like in a webinar style, and we also did drawing. So you've seen the whiteboard style drawing. A couple of things we found out was that faces, just like you see in print or online, the attention comes up. Even if I, you know, at one point I hold my book up and attention goes there, but it very quickly comes back to my face. Words are another thing that draw the attention, and you can see in the webinar style, whenever there are words, they get a great deal of attention. And of course, in the whiteboard video, this is the surprise. They follow that line. It's like writing with a match on gasoline. It's very, very interesting. So we would say yes. I've seen some tests. We haven't done any tests on long-form presentations that are literally slides with text and somebody's reading the text. But several of the information marketers, infopreneurs, have been using that successfully, so I assume it's working for them because they usually test the heck out of their stuff. So does that, you think that answers the question?
Yeah.
If you send me an email, I will send you a link to the study. We did it in a PDF, and we actually have the embedded video, so you can watch the eye tracking videos as people are watching these videos. And if you're considering investing in video, I think you'll learn a lot from it.
Okay. So last question.
Is that microphone going to get hijacked again?
Hey, first of all, a great talk. Really.
Thank you.
I'm more interested in the practical part, like hiring a copywriter at the moment.
Uh-huh.
And so, based on your experience, I'm just asking myself, how likely is it actually to find a copywriter who's like combining all the skill sets or the knowledge and the methods you were talking about before?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can imagine that most of them are still like traditional ones, I guess, and you don't want to hire them and then teach them everything. So
it's like any other hire. It's a great question. It's like any other hire. You're going to find different scales of them, and somebody with all of the knowledge that I talk about here is going to be very expensive. Okay, so you need to have a business model that will support that. Now, the flip side of that is that the copywriter, like you, is beginning to understand their audience and understanding a little bit about how their Wernicke areas are working and what wakes Broca up for them. So if you have an organization that is doing testing of your copy, which a good copywriter will expect, then y'all can learn together. So you can get somebody that has less experience and then learn together what works best in the form of copy and images, typography and things like that to increase your conversion rates. So like anything else, there's going to be a spectrum. You have to trade off experience with money, with the time it takes to train them. But if you're already a testing organization, you have the tools you need for both of you to become very, very good. Does that help?
Yep.
Okay, great. So thank you again, Brian. I think you're here. If there are any questions in the breaks.
Yes, absolutely. Come look me up.
And everybody who wants a book signed, we will do this.
Yeah, I'll sign the books.
Cool. Thanks again, Brian Massey.
Thank you.
Listening to the Conversion Scientist podcast. There's a whole lot more on conversion science over at the Conversion Scientist, www.conversionscientist.com.